living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I am Michael Storm. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. The fall is coming on. It's getting colder and every day is getting a little bit shorter. But I'm feeling great about it. I'm not a winter guy. I don't want to be cold. And it just keeps getting a little bit colder every night. I bought a new coat. And it has fuzzy stuff on the inside, like sort of sheepskin thing or sheep's wool thing kind of going on there. Sheep's wool thing going on there that just it wraps around my little bald head. Oh, it's nice. Boy, there was so much in there that was just not quite right, wasn't there? I have this wonderful show planned for you today. I'm going to invite you into the conversation because it didn't work out that way last week. I went on a 2-hour long tirade about PayPal and free speech instead. But right now, I'm going to invite you into the conversation. I have to set up some headlines, a couple of things to talk about. And mostly I'm going to talk about me. I want to talk about number one. Oh, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you usually, but occasionally I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me and Toby Keith. Actually, I don't know anything about Toby Keith, but I know that song. It's a great little ditty, and it's fitting because I tell you, after the sometime after last week's show, I got an email, and I get a lot of emails, and there and 99.9% of them are positive, and I don't really pay any attention to the negative ones. But it was funny because it was obviously from it was from a network listener, and it's obviously from somebody who doesn't have anything better to do with their time. You know what I'm saying? Not that I am the one to go around telling people what they should, could, would do with their time if it was my time. In fact, I do the opposite of that. So to have somebody reach out to me and just to tell me that they hate me, that they can't stand the show, they think I have a gay voice and delivery. So it's a personal insult. It's not even about that. But mostly what they wanted to tell me about was that I didn't talk about things that were important, that I just talk about myself all the time. No, I talk about my world as I see it and use myself as the example. And aside from that, I don't have to explain myself to you. If you don't like it, don't listen. That's okay. And this doesn't get to me, and I have no intention about going on and on about this throughout the show. I'm just making an example of a poor, sad person who this person is saying that I'm not talking about anything important, which just proves that they're not listening, because I speak about important stuff all the time. I just do it within a certain framework, comfortable topics and ideas things related to my own life, because, well, I've explained that over and over again. It's really quite simple. I'm not living anybody else's life. I can't describe anything to you in any other way but in the way that I see it. Also, I'm not doing the news. I'm not here doing headlines, although I am this week, and I'll tell you why, because I built up a I specifically I've been watching this because there are so many distracting topics, and the biggest, most important topic right now is probably the economy. And I speak about economics and the economy and ways to work and move in and throughout it, and I suggest different tools to use. I have different economic people. It's probably the single most important topic, but I don't look at it that way in terms of, you got to listen. Oh, this is so important. You have to do this now. You have to drop everything you're doing, and you have to listen to exactly what I'm saying because it's extremely important. It's the most important thing you're ever going to hear. I'm not suggesting that ever, because what am I going to tell you, truthfully, that can't realistically be heard somewhere else in those terms other than my own personal experience with life? That's the only thing you can't hear somewhere else. You can't tune to another network or another show or another station or another broadcaster or another podcaster and hear things from their perspective, the things that they want to talk about. But what you can't hear anywhere else is me, what I want to talk about, and the things that I find important and that I believe in speaking about them and talking in the very conversational tone that I do. I have this experience, this personal view, real view, honest view of the same things that we're all going through, the same experience that we're all experiencing, but I'm dealing with it differently. I'm dealing with it in a different way, and I'm succeeding at it. And I think that there's some value in sharing that if you wish to take that out of it. That's not what I do it for. I do it because I like to talk. I like to chat. One of the things was, I love this, was the I think it was probably the final line of this little email. It was a "don't quit your day job," which is hilarious because this is my day job, I guess. It has been for many, many years. I'm hugely successful at it. I've made money doing it. I've won awards doing it. I've been complimented by some of the biggest names and brightest shining lights in broadcasting, and I really don't care what any one individual person thinks. And so it's funny that some poor person who has complete control over their life can do anything they want, and they certainly don't have to listen to me talk for a couple of hours. They really, really don't have to take any more of their precious time to tell me that they're not going to listen to me or that they hate listening to me. I'm not sure which is what. Do you either listen or you don't? If you're writing me and telling me that I'm not talking about the things that are important, then you're not listening to the show, and you are guilty of doing the same thing. If you're telling me that I need to be talking about doing something else, making sure that a particular set of ideas is coming across. I'm not told of the ideas. That's not a part of the communication. It's just insult. It's personal and impersonal at the same time, because I don't know this person. They don't know me. They think they know me. They think they have a right to tell me what I can and can't do with my time, the things that are important. And what's hilarious about that is that this a person like this, they're their understanding of what's important changes with the wind. It changes with the headlines that they see in their browser across the social media that they hear on the TV or on the radio. That's the truth of that kind of person, is that they have no idea what's important. It's only what's important to them. They have no concept of what might be important to somebody else or what might have meaning to somebody else. And if you ask them at different times, maybe from day to day, hour to hour, what it is that someone should be talking about, they're going to give you a different answer every time, because it's whatever they just heard. It's whatever they just saw in a post. It's whatever hashtag just popped up. They're just as bad with the sort of New World Order and politics and economics and their piss poor understanding of those things as they are, as the people are who worship Hollywood and actors and movies and all of that parade that's going on there. It's the same. Show, it's the same movie with different actors and different players, and for someone to think that they're so important that I don't even know why you take the time to do it. I don't think I've ever done that. I would have to sit here and think about it for a while. Have I ever just taken the time to write somebody and tell them how terrible they are and how much? No, I've never done it, because I would never waste my time doing it. I wouldn't waste my time listening to that person and their ideas. Why would I waste my time trying to tell them that I'm not going to listen to their ideas? And so that happened. And truly, as I've spent a couple of minutes talking about it, but it really had no effect on me. I simply replied back to him, GFY. Go F yourself. And that was it. And then I blocked him from the email client. So I won't get any more emails from him, unless they're so desperate for the attention, so desperate to be heard that they use a different email address. And I fully expect that now that I've mentioned it out loud, because I know that they're listening. They would tune in to see if I would talk about them, that I would mention the email. Well, now you're proud. Are you proud of yourself? Are you happy with yourself? You did get mentioned. But here's the thing. The very next day, I got an email from a gentleman that's not too far from where I'm at here in Topeka, Kansas. And that's kind of neat in and of itself, to find RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network listeners around me and in different places. I know of them in Nebraska. I know of them in Kansas and Colorado and Nevada and, of course, in Texas. And there are all these different places that I know for a fact that there are all these different people listening to Republic Broadcasting Network and the shows across it. And to know that there are people just sort of down the road from me listening to me, it's different in the internet thing. It was no big deal when I worked at K-Rock in Manhattan. Everybody around here heard me all the time, at least for sort of 6 hours a day and in between songs. And so that was excuse me, let me get my drink. That's nothing new. In fact, we had a book that came out every quarter that talked about listenership, but we were not officially booked, because it was a book for, I'm trying to remember the details of it, of exactly why it was, and they only do nine to five, like day hours. I don't know, it's been so long ago. This is 1995, somewhere in there, 96 97, and it's just all a little bit different, and you could expect to get phone calls from local people, and you hear from people every night, and you talk to people, and you talk to the same people over and over again, and you get a certain feel for it. Whereas this is worldwide, across the network, there's people everywhere, and so it's almost weird to think that something so broad in its reach just reaches right into your backyard and reaches people that are just around the corner from you. And so it's kind of neat to get this email following on this previous email. They're unsolicited in any way. It's just people responding to the content or what they hear me talking about at any one given time and what they're absorbing about what's important. And it was just so neat to get this extremely positive email following on this just waste of time email that the person shouldn't have bothered to take their time. I don't know, and I don't care. I don't base my existence and what I do on the opinion of strangers, let alone vile, nasty, pointless strangers, people that have no bearing on my reality whatsoever. In no way. It's funny to think of it in those terms, that the individual assumes that that's the way to reach out to somebody and endear them to your position. So often I see that when people in the liberty movement, libertarians and anarchists and voluntarists and all of these people who should know better, really attacking people for what it is they spend their time doing. What are you doing? What is your point? Are you trying to save the world with your email to Michael Storm? I guess I just don't get it. I don't understand the mentality of bringing people down, using that time that you say would be useless, instead of taking that same energy, that same time, and turning it around and putting it into something of your own, and never once looking back at the people who aren't doing what you think they should do. This is extremely important. This is something that I don't do in my life because I see the futility of it and the waste of time of it. And maybe that wasn't always the case. I don't know. I can't pinpoint any point, really. In terms of talking about destructive ideologies within our society, and religion in particular, or religious-like institutions. And I just in particular remember one time having a broken conversation with somebody about their religious institution and the destruction that it's caused, and just leaving that person in tears. And that was not my intention at all when we started the conversation, but that's how it ended up. And I didn't really know this person. I didn't want to hurt this person. And I realized at that time that I was taking the wrong approach in talking to people about failed ideologies. I was trying to point out negatives. I was trying to use an example set that was personally offensive and personally affected the individual without realizing it. It was just a standard of approach to talking about these particular topics. Well, this is bad and this is obvious and look at the damage that it's done, instead of suggesting, as I do now, about building parallel systems, about showing parallel ideas, better ideas. Oh, instead of concentrating on the negative, instead of taking the losing argument, take the energy, the time, make the effort to talk about what's winning, to point to the things that are good, to highlight those things that are positive, and to get those things out into the light and into the ideas and into the conversation, instead of the attack. Instead of it's funny because if this person, this great network listener, somebody who prides the network so much, and the free voices and all these things that, that come with it, is so much. Going into break, I'll pick this up when I come back. 512-248-8252 if you want to get into the conversation. It's live phones today on Toward Anarchy.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
So it's really funny to get these two emails, these two contacts, so specific in their reason behind what they want to talk to me about. The positive email was just fantastic because obviously somebody who is a network listener and they've been listening for a year and they heard the show and they weren't exactly sure about anarchy, about me, about any of the ideas. I'm not making this up. That's what's funny about this. As I sit here and talk about it, it's like, oh, he's probably just making this up. He just has this story that he's telling. He's just coming up with this. I don't have to. That's the beauty of talking about myself and my reality and making that the center of the the conversation, because I don't have to make things up. These are real things that are happening to me in my life. I don't have to fake it. I guess what I do have to do is get through all these ridiculous PayPal. Last week I went through and I canceled my PayPal account just before the show. And if you don't understand, it's a big deal for me. I have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So more than a dozen, at least right here. This is just in the ones that I've seen so far. They're cancellations, they're agreements. These are things that I have to go now and try to find a new way to make sure that these things get paid on a regular basis, if that's what they are. But okay, so this was it. Here's the email. I haven't written the person back, so I don't necessarily want to give you the name, but just Glenn is his name, and he wrote, and he talked here. I'll give you the quote. I've been looking forward to Sunday afternoons for Towards Anarchy. That's a really cool thing to say. It's just, oh, Sunday's coming, I get to listen to the show. Last year I didn't know what to think of you, but I stuck with it, and now I understand the need for real anarchy in our daily lives. Anarchy is a good thing. That's really, really cool. He has this nice long email, and he talks about how he's had this PayPal thing going on with him too, and he talks about them infringing on the sort of individual freedom of speech, and it's just really neat, because obviously he's listening, and he put in the time to listen, and I don't know any of this. If anything is real, I just can see what is in front of me and what appears to be real in my life, and this appears to be a real, honest attempt for somebody to reach out and say, hey, I find some value in what it is you do on the weekends. Here's some things that I've encountered. It's fantastic. It's lovely. I have to follow up yet with Glenn here on this email and really get back to it, because a couple of things in here in specific that I want to ask him about, and find out, you know, where he's at on. It's just wonderful to have something like that happen right after. I get emails all the time, but they're not necessarily directed about the personal points of the show. They're not directed at me. They're directed at content. Here's a thing. You were talking about this. I found this link. Here's all these quotes, or here's it's usually something directly in relation. Well, here's a thing that I found. Here's this story. It's not a personal. It's not about me. It's not about the show. It's about the content. It's about the ideas, which is what I want it to be about. And so that's the majority of the emails and the contacts that I get from people. It's about, this affected me. Oh, here's a thing that maybe you will like this. And so to have back-to-back emails like that, where they're very personal and they're really addressing me and the show, as well as the quality of the content and the ideas and things. It's fantastic to know that it's just what all of this is. It's about individuals. It's about our choice. It's about what we want to do with the time, what we find valuable. And what I don't find valuable is wasting our time trying to tell other people what they should be doing with their time. That's what I started to get at just before we went into that last break there. If you listen to the show, you know that one of the things that I don't want to do is tell somebody how to anarchy. I can't do that. I can tell you what anarchy is to me. I can tell you what it can be to the world and how it can it change us and shape us and make things different for us as we progress as a race and a species. But I can't tell you what to do with your time, and I don't pretend to. We'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created below.
Go to towardanarchy.com if you'd like to follow along. Look for October 16th because we didn't get to it last week. I went on this tirade about PayPal and what's coming. that's the bigger problem with the PayPal thing, is that it's not this might be some test of the waters to see what they can and can't get away with in terms of controlling our money, controlling our speech, controlling our political motivations through money, through the control of our money. And there's this, it's a big deal, but we have to see where it plays out. It's already playing out in different places around the world, where more and more we're slipping into this socialism, and this particular form of socialism is this social media, this social score, the way you behave on the internet and the way you behave in real life and the things that you think and that you post about and that you talk about, people can rate you. I've talked about it on the show before. There was, for they seem to have disappeared a little bit. They're still out there. They're not as prevalent as they were right away when people first started talking about the idea and talking about these scores. But there are places out there. Just type your name and the word social score or something along those lines with it, and you'll get one of these My Life places, or I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. There's a number of different ones out there that they have these ratings, and it's arbitrary crap is what it is. There's no controls over any of this, and so it's just aggregate useless data collected and compiled to make it look like it's specific and important data. It has to be. It can't be anything but that, because there's very little specific detail about why you have the score that you have at these places. So there's serious question about where this data comes from. But the whole point of it doesn't matter where any of the data comes from. It doesn't matter where they get any of their input from or their authority from. It's what they choose to do with it. And if it's what they're going to do is take control of our wealth, take control of our money and our ability to function within society in terms of just buying the things we need to buy, the food that we need to eat, paying the rent, the things that we have to do, this is highly problematic, and so PayPal had to pay for it. That was it. But I still wanted to have a show where people would call in. We can do that. It's live, open phones, open topics, whatever you want to talk about, kind of thing, and let you into it. And so I have some different topics, a couple of things that I've saved up to cover, or we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 512-248-8252. Tell me. You can get into the conversation. 512-248-8252. You can get into the conversation, and you could tell me what it is that I should be talking about. There, you don't have to send me an email. You can get right on. You can tell me how horrible I am. You can make sure you include your name so we know who you are, so that you get the attention that you feel that you need when you want to tell other people about what it is that their life should be. When come on, maybe we need to reevaluate our own life, but just possibly a little bit. TowardAnarchy.com, October 16th, open phones, that's the idea, open topics, 512-248-8252, if you want to jump in and have something to say. I also shared a couple of links up there of some things that I thought were really important, because I never want to be guilty of not talking about important things like self-government or goal setting or quality relationships and in our business and in our lives. I would never want to talk about things like that. Those couldn't be important. But there are really some things that we can do as individuals. And when I find those things, I like to share those things that will can and will make a difference in our own lives and in the world around us in our own little way. So something like this is really cool. This link that I shared is about helping boost the wild bee population through planting flower strips and what types of flower strips are best for attracting and helping the bees, you know, based on the longevity of the flowers, you know, perennials versus annuals, that sort of thing, how long they're available for the bees to have access to them. And this is, we certainly have a problem with pollinators. We have any number of problems, pollution and different things affecting ourselves as well as the environment around us. And whatever we do to mitigate those things, there are certain other things that we can do to continue to grow that symbiotic relationship that we have with the planet that we've turned our back on in many ways, and try to turn that around and do what we can in our own little ways. And I talk about things like this all the time, and it's the simple little things, you know, not using caustic chemicals and destroying the environment with them, you know, trying as individuals to use higher quality products for cleaning and sanitizing our environments and things that need to be done along those lines, chemicals and detergents, and be consciously aware of those things that we use and try to make those changes as individuals ourselves. Planting a garden, planting something like these flower strips that help the bee population. These are all wonderful, fantastic things that have, they're multi-layered in their importance to us as individuals and to the environment, to the world, to the people around us, something like this. So you plant flower strips, there's more to it than you just help the environment. You made it so bees have a place that they can call home. You've done more than that. You've taken the time to alter your reality, and you've put in this work, and you've put seed in the soil, and this is all good for your mental and your physical state. The just the act of doing those things, let alone the end product of what those things are, and it's just a high level of importance to find things like that that work for you to be able to do that. Not everybody owns their property. Now everybody has space where they can do things like this. This is just one of many, many things that we as individuals can do that will change the world and will change our own worlds. And this is all that I ever talk about. These are all these conversations, these things that I have. They must be important to the individual. You get it? There is no bigger concern about reality, about society, about where we are, where we're going, who anyone is or who anyone should be or where we might be in the end of it all. If we're all dead and there's nothing, there's no planet for us to enjoy. There's no, there's no life to be lived in living our existence for a time or a place or a reality that's not ours, that we won't be in. But that doesn't mean that we have to disregard that reality, that future either. And there's an easy place for us to find ourselves and place ourselves that will be successful for us here and will be better for the future when we're not here. Those are in the way we choose to treat other people and those around us, and the legacy of ideas and work we leave behind us. And those things can't be trivialized by suggesting that any one of these things is any more important to our survival or to our future than any of the others, because again, without the individuals, there is no greater us. There is no we. There's just the individuals that create that reality. If we weren't doing the things for ourselves, and we weren't creating, and we weren't making things work for us, then things wouldn't work at all, because we only have just so much reach, the majority of us. There's this small percentage of people who have money and ideas that reach far beyond the reach of the average individual. So most of us have to consider what we do as individuals and how it impacts the world around us and the future that we that may or may not exist. It doesn't even matter if it does, because the reality is that as you're doing these things, that something like planting a flower strip or reanalyzing the way you talk to individuals, the way you're raising your children, the way you're conducting your business with other people, if you're making a conscious effort to participate in these things and to participate in your life, you have to improve. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're analyzing the situation, unless you're purposely trying to avoid changing who you are and the way you approach things and what you do in your life, or you're just completely oblivious to it, in which case it wouldn't make any difference anyway. When you learn new information, it changes you. It changes the way you approach things. And so it's a real simple thing to do. I almost find it hard to believe that there are people who don't, but it's obvious that there are people who don't. They don't have an inner dialogue. They don't have any greater desire to understand who they are themselves and how they get along in their world and how doing so for themselves will make a better world for themselves. I just don't get not living in your life. Let me give you a great example of this, because I watched Clerks 3 just the other day. It just came out, and it's the Kevin Smith movie, and it's cathartic. It's because Kevin Smith is the same age as I am, and I grew up with his movies. I saw Clerks when it first came out in the theater, which was not an easy thing to do. And I loved the movie. It was funny. It was irreverent. It was not like anything I'd really seen before. There was a lot of in that time period, there were a lot of things that were doing that to everybody. South Park, and it was all kinds of things in and around that time period cultural things like that that were impacting people. Quentin Tarantino movies, just so different from the 60s, 70s, 80s. Some of these things are present in there, but they're not the same as they were when they sort of broke out in the 90s. And there was you think of it as independent, and you think of it as new and different, but it's not necessary. I mean, those guys, Tarantino, Smith, Kevin Smith, they got their ideas from somebody and their love of movies. And so it's all fitting together. But so Clerks 3 is out this week, and it's kind of cathartic because, again, they're geeks. Even they're into the same geek stuff I'm into, sort of Star Wars conversations and comic books and Dungeons and Dragons and all the things that I grew up with. And so he's telling a story. Kevin Smith has had health problems, and he almost died. And so he's telling these stories, both this one, Clerks 3, and the most recent Jay and Silent Bob movie were their love letters and their epitaphs, their auto epitaphs, like autobiography, auto epitaphs, and love letters to the people in his life. And he's saying goodbye. He's 50 years old, 51 years old, and he's saying goodbye to the people around him and the people that are important to him, and trying to tell them how important they are to him because he's had this death experience. And so he's sort of ending his life, and he's even ending, he kills off, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say anything because the movie just came out. Spoilers! He kills off one of the main characters in Clerks, and this person's dead. It's over. It's finalized. And they're only halfway through their life, and they're and all through the thing, they're talking as if their life is over, as if the accomplishments, that there's nothing to accomplish now that they've hit this age of 50, and that what they've done, the things that have made them successful and put them where they are, their successful business and relationships that they have around them, just aren't good enough. And this is this is that point. It really truly is. This is that point where we're having an understanding of what's important and what should make us feel good as individuals, and it's from too many outside sources, not enough from inside ourselves, not enough of questioning ourselves and understanding ourselves to decide that for ourselves. We're letting outside input, religion, politics, social media, Hollywood, tell us that other things, listeners to the network, tell us that there are other things that are more important, that we should be doing something more important. And that's coming from their ridiculous perspective of no information about who you are and what could or should be important to you as a person. And to reiterate, to have to go through that with people over and over again, time and time again, to try to get that point across. It's really weird to me. It's really weird to me that people don't want to be themselves, that they don't want other people to be themselves. And I don't know which is worse, which is more impactful. They don't want to be themselves because they're afraid to be themselves, or they don't want other people to be themselves because they're afraid of themselves, or they're afraid of who they will be. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's different for each individual. I can't find myself in that place, because the only place I can find myself in is in me, here, in me, this person here. And I feel better when I feel better about my world, when I treat my world better, when I participate in my world better. And that's a good thing. It really is okay. It truly is okay to feel good about yourself and what it is you do, particularly when those things are not in any way detrimental to other people who don't want to be involved in what it is that you do. And so saying that me or some other announcer or a political person or social person or anybody can, that you can tell them better what they can do with their time, It's a fail. That's what the kids call it these days. It's a fail. Do you get it? It's not what we should be doing. And I just don't know how many different ways I can say it, or when it might ever just sink in. And I guess that because we're always moving on, and because there are always new people and new ideas to come along, you never really get to stop saying what you think should be obvious. I think it should be obvious that we should be uplifting toward each other, that we should make and set personal and private goals for ourselves that are attainable, in the sense that they're not confused with what other people believe we should be doing based on their limited understanding of us, based on their opinion of what's important and what who's important, the value of what they think is important, because those are two different things. It's like the microphone for the show last week was overmodulated. You could say it's too loud, but that's not true, because too loud assumes that you can't listen to it, that it's too much for your ears. But overmodulated is that it's just too much input. It's not too loud, but it's being the input is exceeding the capabilities of the equipment to keep it clear, so you can understand it. You can still hear it on the other side, and it's not so loud that you have to turn it down. Turning it down won't help it, but it's just blown out, and the person sounds like they're really loud, but they're not. You turn it all the way down to where you could almost hear nothing, and it would still sound like it's too loud. That's a subtle difference in the way we understand a thing, or the way we hear a thing, and there's a difference in the way that it has to be dealt with. If I'm overmodulated, I'm too loud, I have to turn it down on my end. You can't. There's no amount of turning it down into the network or you on the other end that can turn it down to where I'm not overmodulated, even though I won't be loud. It's a weird example, but it's something that's in my head, because I heard the recording from last week's show, and it was obvious that it was overmodulated. And that's a thing that direct feedback, I won't know until afterward. There's not really any way for me to know. I can't always hear myself the same way. It's a technical thing. I have this thing in my hand. I know we're getting ready to slip off into a break here, but I said that I wanted to look at a couple of headlines, because I've been purposely saving this up for the past month. We're looking at September 11th through today was the last one that I took. And there's not a ton of them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, 40, 50, 60, 17, 18, 19, 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 31, 2. So about 32 different headlines. Most of them are about the economy. And I want you to understand that we're paying attention, and those of us who are and can do something about it are. I don't know what it's going to do for other people to sit there and give them these headlines over and over again, headlines about how bad it is, but not offer any way to fix it, not offer any plan, any solution, certainly not anything that's different. You know that Ben Bernanke, he got the Nobel Prize in economics this past week, and that's a bad joke. That's a huge bad joke, because his— well, actually, I guess it's not. He's fantastic at his job. His job is to take economics, human action, and turn it into manipulated, pointless numbers that distract from what economics is. That's his job, and he's good at it. So I guess it's not such a bad joke that he got the award. Nobel Prize for old, good old Ben. We got to slip in here to the top of the hour and check in with everybody. But we will come back on Toward Anarchy, and you can get into the conversation if you like. 512-248-8252. And then we'll talk about the economy when we get back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.